The Bird Show.
Because I don't know much about politics at all, I'm on slippery footing this morning. Because I know that Bert's Big Adventure is about to be honored by a senator in Georgia.
A U.S. senator.
A U.S. senator. I just don't know how and what it means.
We know it's a big deal
Yes. Because
of the people who are wearing suits in our studio right now.
One person. Oh, two people in a suit.
Yes. This is Senator John Ossoff joining us in studio this morning. And yeah, the other guy in the suit, and there's a photographer here also. When John was coming down the hall, I just assumed this was not security.
Yeah, if it were, I would be in a pretty vulnerable spot. These are my comms guys, not my heavies.
Yeah, I'd break right through these guys. I for sure could take that dude.
I didn't realize you were so ripped, by the way. Must spend like 3 hours a day in the gym.
It's a tight shirt.
Yeah.
This is my kid's shirt.
Well, he wanted to show off for you today, Senator.
Thank you for being in here this morning.
Thank you so much.
Now, we have Bert's Big Adventure coming up next week.
Yes.
And for those of you that are new listeners, Bert's Big Adventure is the trip that we take down to Disney World every year with kids that have chronic and terminal illnesses. And you guys know this because you pay for the trip and you take care of these kids. But this is really a trip of escape, John, as you know, for these families. It's just like we started this thing 20 something years ago as a trip of escape to get away from like doctors and protocols and words like leukemia. And really what's happened over the course of the last 20 years, it's become a trip of connection where, yeah, we go to Disney World and we have a great time with these families, but we've watched this community comes so tightly together that they need each other. So we do reunions now, and it's just become this much bigger than just a trip to Disney World, right?
Yeah, the families do. They definitely lean on each other. And we end up taking kids who have some really rare, complicated diseases. And over the years, like, we've managed to connect some families who are experiencing the same thing, and they've always felt so alone. So for this organization to have grown, because we have the family reunions, we have the fairy godparent program where we visit kids in the hospital. Any one of our Bert's Big Adventure kiddos that's in the hospital, they get a visit. But it's really seeing the connection with the families and them feeling like, I got people on my side, and I'm not doing this all by myself.
And how long are the trips down to Disney World?
They're 5 days each year, but it's really just sort of the spoke now in the tire of
the community.
Adventure.
It sounds like a community you built to help families who otherwise could feel so isolated, alone, and afraid given what's happening to their kids and for the kids themselves.
Yeah, it has to be their first trip to Disney. The kids range in age from 5 to 12. And then, we go VIP all the way. So we don't mess around when it comes to our trips to Disney, our private plane and how we go above and beyond at the park and our passes that get us to the front of the lines. We want them to be able to have an experience of a lifetime. And that's courtesy thanks to all of our donors.
Well, that is wonderful work. And I guess we'll just do this thing right now.
Let's go.
Because, everybody out there, this is your Senator John Ossoff. Every so often I have the privilege of honoring and commending Georgians who are doing amazing work on behalf of the community, the state, and the country. And so, Bert, what I have here for you and the team is a commendation entered into the record of the U.S. Senate of Bert's Big Adventure. And I'm going to read this on the air. This is now an official part of the record of the United States Senate. And this is what I've put into the record. Mr. President, and that addresses the President of the Senate, I rise to commend an Atlanta, Georgia nonprofit organization for its 2 decades of service to Georgia and the country. Founded in 2002, Bert's Big Adventure provides an all-expenses-paid 5-day journey to Walt Disney World for children with chronic and terminal illnesses and their family. In 2003, the organization took 7 children with chronic and terminal illnesses and their families on the journey of a lifetime to Walt Disney World for the inaugural trip. Since then, Bert's Big Adventure has taken 260 children and their families on a magical vacation. Following the annual trip, Bert's Big Adventure provides year-round support to children and their families through initiatives such as the Family Reunion Adventures, the Fairy Godparent Volunteer Program, additional charitable services. Bert's Big Adventure gives children battling illness and their families a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity and helps create lasting memories. As Georgia's U.S. Senator, I commend the Bert's Big Adventure team for its 2 decades of valiant service and commitment to giving back to those in need.
Thank you
for your work.
Wow. Thank you.
So this goes into where?
This goes into the record of the U.S. Senate, and you get this.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It goes right next to the Declaration of Independence. So whenever you go to D.C., you're going to see it right there.
But thank you for, I got a 2-year-old baby girl at home, and a member of my staff recently, you know, had a very difficult diagnosis for their son. And, you know, when I think about, I mean, just the level of fear and concern, a health scare with your child. You know, we had a like a choking incident when she was about 8 months old. And that was the scariest moment of my life. So when your child's health is at risk, it is the most frightening thing imaginable. And so I'm grateful to you for creating, you know, not just, as you pointed out, these opportunities to go and escape and have this trip, but also this support network for these families.
Thank you. It is the thing that I'm most proud of, for sure. And thank you for the notoriety. Now, do we, because we got this, does everybody on the Burt's Big Adventure staff basically get to run through red lights now?
Yeah,
do we get a key to the
city?
State? Yeah, we can do anything we want. Is this like, we get to do whatever we want?
I would love to host y'all. You'll come up if you guys find yourself in that fallen city, Washington, D.C. we can show you around the Capitol.
I spent 8 years there, man.
Yeah. Oh, did you really?
And I escaped.
Yeah, well, that was wise. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's gotten worse.
We'd love to do that, man. We would love to.
We appreciate that.
While you're here, and this is very, very sweet, and I will give you the option or not to talk about like a couple of issues that I think are on our mind this morning. Not directly at you, but just in general when it comes to politics. Are you cool with that?
Of course.
Okay. So this morning, I think what I'm trying to learn is how the process works when it comes to making change in not only Georgia, but in Washington, D.C., right? So I think we all have sort of heavy hearts this morning. When I go to the news this morning, the one thing that's on my mind is gun control. And I think on a lot of people's mind is gun control. You go to 11 Alive this morning, 3 detained after 4 students shot in parking lot of Benjamin E. Mays High School. Another headline. Woman found shot, killed in DeKalb County. Then, of course, we're talking about what happened in Kansas City also.
It's just heartbreaking.
So I'm not exactly sure what your stance on gun control is, but I think what I'm trying to get at is I'm fed up. Like, this has happened so often that I feel like I've lost my fight and I don't have enough knowledge to know if anything is getting done. So I want to know what the process is for you as a senator. How can you make a change when everything just seems to be so divisive and such about parties now? What is the process for people to go and actually make a change? And what do senators do with that info?
I think the first thing to recognize is that the daily work of my office and my daily work is rarely focused on whatever's leading like national cable, internet, political drama. That big fight between Democrats and Republicans that leads the news every day is not the bulk of my time or my staff's time. The bulk of our time is spent either providing direct constituent service, so helping veterans who need help getting appointments at the VA, you know, things as simple but important to folks as getting a rush passport renewal before travel, helping seniors who have issues with Medicare or Social Security, just cutting through bureaucratic red tape that really impacts people's lives. Folks who are owed like $50,000 in Social Security disability they didn't get, that's just been piling up and they've been slamming their head into a brick wall, and it has a huge impact on their family. And then in terms of policy, whether it's on guns or otherwise, you know, we're only able to get things done when we can bring enough Republicans and Democrats together. And I think that, you know, the national political news and the campaigning is so nasty and so divisive. I think that increasingly most people identify as politically independent. I don't think that most people go through their daily lives defining themselves as being affiliated with one political party or the other. And really the only way we get things done, you know, for example, we passed a bill that strengthened background checks for younger people trying to purchase firearms. Well, the only way we were able to get that done was to build some common ground between Republicans and Democrats in Congress. And if we're not able to focus on that, like put the national interest ahead of partisan party interests, then we're not able to get things done. And we're going to continue to spiral into this place that's more and more hateful.
Coming from a military family, I do appreciate what you are doing for veterans, as I have had some run-ins with the VA over the years, and it can be a complicated process, and it shouldn't be. So I definitely appreciate that. And I am a member of Georgia Moms for Change, which is a bipartisan group that is just trying to protect our children. Ever since, you know, I have a toddler as well, and he is in preschool, and I was not expecting this. I got a letter letting us know that they had an active shooter drill and he's two.
At preschool.
And that was so sobering. And that's when I am, you know, I immediately got involved with Georgia Moms for Change. And I love the fact that they're bipartisan and they're not trying to take guns away. They just want to protect our kids and they want, you know, some common sense gun laws, et cetera. I think to fix a problem, you have to know why there's a problem. And so like, why do we have this issue in America when there's other comparable countries out there that don't?
The reality is, you know, and this is where it starts to get kind of political and kind of controversial, but we have to be honest about what's going on in order to solve these problems.
Correct.
The reality is that there is an industry out there, right, that has an interest in manufacturing and selling and distributing as many firearms with the fewest restrictions as possible, because that's how they get the biggest return to their shareholders. It's a business.
Mm-hmm.
And that industry is very, very powerful. That industry wields its power in Congress through political contributions and lobbying efforts. And they fight tooth and nail against anything, even something as simple. You know, we passed these stronger background checks for younger people buying rifles. Even something as simple as that faces massive resistance because their incentive is sell as much as possible, as fast as possible to whoever wants to walk up, even if the proper precautions aren't being taken.
Senator John Ossoff in studio with the Burt Show this morning. Do you as a senator get as frustrated with the process sometimes as the constituents seem to be?
Absolutely. And yeah. Look, I'm the youngest member of the Senate, and it's not even close. And, you know, what I see are colleagues in both parties who have been there for a very, very long time, who are very comfortable, who have gotten accustomed to a certain way of doing things. And it works for them, but it doesn't always work for the people we're supposed to serve. And, you know, that's one of the reasons I encourage more young people to get involved and to think about running for elected positions and leadership positions, because when folks have been in Congress, no disrespect to my colleagues, and there's a lot to be said for experience, but for 30, 40, 50 years, you know, many of them have lost touch with what ordinary people really care about.
Mm-hmm. We have an election coming up, and obviously there's going to be a lot.
We do? Hadn't heard.
Believe it or not.
Yeah. Well, you're about to hear a lot more about it every day.
Right. Yeah. It could really go right by you.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a lot of mudslinging going on, you know, as candidates.
No doubt about that.
Right. So I wanted to know from your end, because you were on the receiving end of that years ago, as an individual, and you're a person, you're not a robot, do any of those things actually hurt, or do you just chalk it off to like, you know what, this is just politics and this is the way it is these days?
Yeah, you kind of have to just tune it out.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that folks who are listening, because they would have heard all the ads. Remember, I ran for the U.S. House seat, the 6th District in 2017, and didn't win that election. And I was 29 when I got in that race. I had never run for anything in my life. And it was sort of shocking at first, suddenly getting hit like that from all directions. But you just get used to it. You realize that it's an idea of you that's being attacked, you know, and it's just, it's part of the process. And it really should be about vetting qualifications and positions and whatnot. But it has become so ugly and so divisive. As a result, I think that most people tune it out.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think people attack ads are so over the top and so personal. You know, I think that they're actually a less and less relevant part of elections, but it's just like tradition to sling mud like that.
We were talking about YouTube Kids off the air before we came on. Really quick, funny story is I was seeing a woman who had, I guess at that time it was a 6-year-old daughter, right? And I was talking to her about the election, and she literally thought your first name was Radical. She literally was like, so are you voting for Radical John Ossoff? I'm like, that's not even his name.
Branding, it's right, like
it was
enough repetition. I had little kids, because they run it all on those pre-roll ads on YouTube.
Yeah.
And I had little kids coming up and reciting all of the ads for and against. And I was like, who's putting money advertising to like 9-year-olds?
You know? Right. Yeah.
Do you feel like in this area, as well as others, that there's even more eyes on you and even more pressure on you being the youngest member of the Senate? Or do you feel like it's business as usual?
No, I get a lot of questions that are related to my relative youth in Congress. But I welcome that. I mean, again, you know, we need some change in the Congress. One of the reasons that it's so stuck is because it's the same people. Literally for decades.
Mm-hmm.
The same people running the show. And so, you know, if we ask ourselves, well, why is it getting worse? Why is it so stuck? In part, it's because we don't have fresh voices in the room. And I, you know, so, you know, I'm a Democratic elected official. I encourage a lot of young Republicans to think about pursuing leadership roles because we need fresh voices in both political parties.
And really, it's the only way things are going to change, man.
Well, representation matters. And that goes whether it's age, whether it's race, whether it's your sex. So I think for women, for minorities, for those who are young, it's important for all of them to, you know, contemplate a future in politics, even though you might get called, you know, a radical.
I've been called worse than that.
Senator John Ossoff in studio. Getting back to the original reason why you're here, thank you very much for honoring Bert's Big Adventure.
Thank you for your work.
This is certainly not about me. We've got a staff of people that work 24/7 to make sure that our families, not just the current families, but families from the last 20 years are taken care of, and I'm extremely proud of that staff. So you coming in here and giving them notoriety just means the world to
me. Well, thank you. Thank you for providing this kindness to kids who need it so much.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Senator John Ossoff in studio with The Bert Show this morning. What an honor. Thank you.
A pleasure. Take care.
The Bert Show.